This story scares the crap out of me. We have turned much of our world into a surveillance society. And if you're like me, you think, you know what? If we can use cameras to try to find car thieves and murderers and gangbangers, so be it. I don't do anything wrong. What do I have to risk? Our next guest found out the hard way what the risk can be, even if you're doing nothing wrong. Joel Feeder is the editor of TheDrive.com. He's an automotive journalist. He test drives cars. And he was tracked by cameras and then cornered by a bunch of squad cars that told him to put his arms up. Joel is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Joel, this story is unbelievable.
I got to tell you, man, in 15 plus years of being an automotive journalist, this takes the cake. This is, I called my editor-in-chief and I said, on Sunday, I said, I got the craziest story of my entire career. And he said, that's a bold statement. And I told him what happened. He said, wow, you delivered on that statement.
So take us to the beginning, because you, part of your job is test driving cars, and you had a Range Rover that came from a dealer or from the company, just with the typical plate that would be on a manufacturer loaner car, right?
Kind of. It's complicated, as I told the police. The short version is press cars, is what which I'm driving on a weekly basis or around the world, are owned by the automaker. So in this case, this car was owned by Jaguar Range Rover. And typically, and this is a generalization, most press cars are plated with license plates corresponding to where the automaker's U.S. headquarters are. So in this scenario, it was New Jersey, and you know, a lot of Porsches are going to be either California or the East Coast, et cetera. So, you know, a lot of Michigan cars built in Detroit, you know, the Stellantis, Ford, GM, the Detroit plates. So this car had a New Jersey plate, and we have front license plate laws here, but because it's plated in Jersey and they don't have front license plate laws, it only had a rear license plate, and it's registered and owned by Jaguar Range Rover.
So how did the cops end up sort of tracking this car and trying to arrest you? What happened here?
Sure. So
maybe start at the end. Start at the end the way you did with your story. So you're just at Kohl's in Plymouth, right?
Yeah. So to my wife and I are Kohl's to turn an Amazon box, right? So we're in Kohl's for maybe 10 minutes. We go on or whatever it took to wait in line to return the Amazon package. Got in the car, put the car in reverse. I checked the, you know, the rearview mirror, checked the camera, checked around. Everything was clear. Take my foot off the brake. Don't even put my foot on the gas. Like, we rolled, I don't know, 2 feet. If you look at the lead image on my story, it looks like we parked like jerks because I rolled with my wheels turned. So we kind of rolled out of the parking spot, right? And then all of a sudden, the car's alarms, you know, the backup sensors and everything, it went nuts. Like, I'm going to roll over a kid or something. Like someone walked into my path, slammed the brake. Look in the rearview mirror, assuming it's something small that walked into my, I couldn't see it. And I see two cop cars blasting up with lights going, sirens going in the passenger side. And then I'm like, what the heck? And then I look to the driver's side through the window, and there's two more cop cars coming up on my side. So now we're boxed in. We're boxed and pinned, which is the term we use in the police report. And I look at my wife, and I kid you not, I looked at her, and I said, I wasn't even speeding this time. Like, I did nothing wrong. And she thought, to be fair, she actually thought that was funny. And so one of the few times I can make a Steven joke and get
right, and have it work. Yes.
Yeah, it worked. And so, like, you know, I've been pulled over plenty in press cars, whether it's speeding or tagged, whatever, right? And so I always know it's a very complicated situation because the car is registered to the automaker. I have a loan agreement that says I'm in it, but it's not my car. So it's a very complicated situation, whether you're getting pulled over speeding, you're in an accident or anything. So I already knew the situation at hand for me. Put it in park, you know, crack the door, put my hands up, you know, like everything you should do, and to defuse the situation. Also, I knew we did nothing wrong. And so, you know, the cops get out of the car. No one drew a gun. They had their hands on the gun. They don't know me. And they said, are you armed? And I said, no. And he said, get out of the car. I said, got out of the car. He said, are you armed? I said, no. He said, can I pat you down? I said, sure. And he passed me down. And I said, it's my phone, my wallet, whatever. And he says, you know, do you have ID? I showed him my ID. I gave him my ID. He said, who are you? We ran through the whole, you know, who are you thing.
Yeah.
Once he determined he knew who I was and I am who I say I am, he said, who owns this car? I'm like, wow, that's a complicated situation.
Right, here we go.
I can explain it, but me, you have patience. We got to get through that. And so I explained the whole situation. I'm a journalist, whatever. And we got through it. He's like, he understood that I didn't own the car. I had a reason to be with the car, and I had proof of documentation. At least I said I did. And then I was going to show him once he let me, that I had the rights to have this car and why. And thankfully one of the supporting officers had heard of the drive.com. So I got a little lucky there.
That helped. Yeah.
Caught a little break. And then we went through it. And then as we went through it, you know, he's like, you know, the plates are stolen. We got to figure out the car is stolen. I'm sitting here thinking, I don't think so. Right. Like, I mean, I knew the car wasn't stolen. Is it possible someone could have swapped a plate onto this thing at a gas station or on a truck? Sure, of course, right? Like, these cars travel across the United States and go into random journalist driveways all the time. Absolutely possible. Plausible. Likely? Not really. Probably not. But, like, it could happen. And so, but they quickly determined the car's not stolen. They looked up the VIN. They said the plates were stolen, whatever. And then, of course, I said, well, how did we get here? Right? Like how did we get here? He's like, well, there's Flock cameras in Plymouth. And I'm like, oh, because we reported extensively on Flock, the misuse by cops in Texas and going to prison for stalking people and their exes and their families. We've reported on Signal Trace and tracking people via Bluetooth and their devices and their pets' microchips. So we've reported on this situation on thedrive.com extensively in the last couple of weeks. And we just did a podcast about this a week ago. So, like, with a security expert. So I'm very well versed in this.
But for our listeners who maybe aren't as well versed, Flock cameras are, you once you know what they look like, you'll start seeing them all over the place. Different suburban communities, different urban communities, but these cameras are all over the country. And then Flock gathers that data, has AI, has computer systems, and they're constantly surveilling and scouring, looking for, like, what they thought they have with you, which is a stolen car or a wanted fugitive, right?
Yeah, so their cameras are typically mounted on top of stoplights, right? So yep. We can go through an intersection. They read license plates. They're called automatic license plate readers. Flock is a company that sells them. There's other companies, Signal Trace, et cetera, right? So just like anything, it's a distributor, a supplier, right, that the cops in a city, a municipality can contract. So Plymouth has 15 of these things in Plymouth right now. I can't speak to other cities around our area, but Plymouth has got 15 is my understanding at the moment. And then it feeds to the cops, and it'll flag things. So, like, the cops aren't sitting here watching plates go through the supposed to be watching through intersections. But when something that's in the national database gets flagged as a stolen plate in this scenario or stolen car, right, it'll get flagged and then it'll send it to the cops that are in the area of that flag, right? So these cops were in this area where I went through a stoplight, Flock camera, read the license plate, and flagged it as stolen, sent it to those cops, and then they figured out where the car was parked. One of the cops had informed me that they actually got a flag on it a couple days before that. I think he said 2 days. And so they went looking for me, but they couldn't find me because I went and parked in my garage. And so when it got flagged again, they already knew the car. They knew what they were looking for this time, because the other time they didn't move quick enough and didn't see where I went. And this time the car was parked in a public spot.
In a public spot.
They found it, right?
Yeah.
Versus my garage where I had the door closed. And so it's my understanding that they actually had them, like, they were staked out. Like, they were sitting on the side of Kohl's. They were waiting for me to get in the car. They were waiting for the car to move. They were waiting to confirm there were people in the car. They were trying to control the situation.
Which is smart, right? If indeed 100%. This were a stolen car, this is very smart.
If you stole a car, you're statistically speaking, you're probably armed.
Right.
Like, statistically speaking, right? I'm sure of it. Whether you're dangerous or not, I mean, look, if you're in a stolen car, how safe are you? I don't know, right? Like, but you know, and also this wasn't like a 20-year-old Taurus that someone could have just hotwired. This is a $155,000 brand new car, right? Like, it's much harder to steal a car like this than some 30-year-old Taurus. Also, I should say that. So, you know, because these cars are all electronically controlled.
Right.
Anyway, so they've been tracking it for days with the Flock cameras. I popped up again, and then they did a box and pin. And you know, I did everything, and this is going to sound ridiculous. I'm sure people are going to, like, roll their eyes. I did everything right? Like, I was calm. I answered their questions. I didn't, like, you know, these guys are in an uncomfortable situation, too. I have friends that are cops, right? Like, they don't know me. I could have a gun. I could be confrontational. I wasn't.
But here's the bigger issue as we talk with Joel Feeder from The Drive, a local automotive journalist who was pulled over because this whole thing was a data entry error. And, and this is where I think, this is why I think this should be of great interest and great concern to everybody around, everybody listening, everybody around Minnesota, because this is the flaw when you let computers drive law enforcement, because there was an incomplete license plate put into the Flock system, as it's all laid out in your story at the drive.com. But it was an error or an incomplete license plate, and the AI just read part of your license plate because of a quirk of the way the New Jersey plate is. So not only did you do nothing wrong during the interaction, it wasn't a stolen license plate. It was a giant screw up. And think, this could have, if you were not as calm in the moment, this could have had terrible consequences, all because of a screw up, a computer, and this giant surveillance company.
That could have got shot. And honestly, I can't sit here and tell you that I would have been as calm, cool, and collected, or my wife would have, if my kids had been in the car. That would have been a completely different situation. Yeah. And they thankfully were not.
Yeah.
This absolutely all happened because of a human error that, and those things happen. You and I are both human.
Yep, for sure.
We made mistakes. But that human error, because of Flock's network, was exponentially amplified across the entire country. And then on top of that, the AI that runs the Flock back end of those cameras did not catch the error and then led the cops to the car. So there was like compounding issues that happened here. And I do want to say, like, because of a journalist, because it was a press card, because it's a unique plate, like, there is absolutely a part of this that is an edge case, right? But that doesn't detract from what just happened, because edge cases happen. And you need to be prepared and be able to handle an edge case in a situation like this. We're talking about people that could die. Whether it's a cop, by the way, I could have been some fugitive.
That's right.
And I could have been armed and dangerous, right?
That's right.
Or they could have assumed.
Or you could have just been Joel Feeder, correct, and you had a gun legally and something could have escalated. Who knows?
But who knows? Thank God none of that happened. But there was a compounding amount of issues that exponentially made this where we got. And there are absolute guardrails that should be put in place electronically. There are system checks that should be put in place at a human level. And it goes to prove that these pieces of technology can be helpful and probably help solve crimes, but they need to have the guardrails and the human interaction to get there.
I hope everybody reads your story. It's at thedrive.com, which is a great site already, but it's just a fascinating story and part of this conversation that I think, well, it's been a hot one here in the Twin Cities about drones and whether law enforcement should use those. This is already in use, as we know, in Plymouth. Joel Feeder from The Drive, I'm glad it ended okay, and I'm glad you spent some time with us. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.
Pretty interesting stuff. 5:50, drive time. Coming back in just a minute.